Hey, I'm Amanda from Trifecta Fitness. We're proud to be Clarksville's new Get Fit headquarters. Trifecta Fitness is a state-of-the-art spin and strength training studio. Our spin studio is truly one of a kind in this area, complete with 20 state-of-the-art live fitness bikes and an incredible sound system. Our strength training is done in small groups of six or fewer, and all of our strength and spin classes are scalable for every level of experience. Come see us in the heart of Clarksville, just behind MAPCO at the corner of Old Trenton Road and Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. Call us for more info at 931-541 426265 or download our Trifecta Fitness app for a full list of upcoming classes.
For every veteran, there is a story. A story about a calling to serve, to fight for the freedoms of the American people. And every story has a struggle, a sacrifice, and invisible wounds. Warrior Wads programs help veterans recover from PTSD and invisible wounds through exercise, nutrition, and connecting with other veteran leaders. It is estimated that 22 veterans die each day by suicide, and another 30 veterans die each day by substance abuse. These are preventable deaths. Warrior Wad is committed to fighting PTSD through fitness, nutrition, and community. Privilege and opportunity to support our heroes in their time of need. Will you join us and take action?
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to our Tuesday After Dish show. We got a good one tonight. First, let's remember those five Marines we lost last week. Lance Corporal Alex Langren of Chandler, Arizona. Captain Benjamin Moulton of Emmett, Idaho. Captain Jack Casey of Dover, New Hampshire. Captain Miguel Nava, 28, of Traverse City, Michigan. Rest easy, Marines. We got the watch from now. Semper Fi. So our next guest tonight is the host of Opportunity Made podcast and runs the Leon Foundation of Excellence, a program that helps youth heal intergenerational patterns of trauma. She also has experience as a teacher, software engineer, accessibility advocate, and employee resource leader. So without further ado, let's welcome Catherine Lewis to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. Starting to worry that we weren't going to make it in there until the last second. So thank you for making it.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
It's awesome. So, Catherine, I just gave you a sentence introduction about you. If you don't mind, tell us a little more about you from as far back as you want to go to how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. We're going to dive deeper into it, I'm sure. But for my own story, it really started back when I was a child and dealt with trauma. My father was a Marine and had experience in the military, and that translated into the way that I was raised as a child. I went through what I would call micro traumas. And we had a bit of tension and trauma in our relationship, and that led to me ending our relationship at the age of 13. And that was a really big moment in my life, which inspired the rest of the work that I do today.
That's a tough decision at 13 years old for anybody to do that. And did you ever back into each other's lives later in life, or is it still fractured?
Yeah, great question. I know there's a lot of people out there who are dealing with relationships that still haven't been restored. I'm incredibly grateful to say that 13 years later, so when I was 26, we were able to restore our relationship really because of a lot of forgiveness on both of our ends, a lot of maturing and healing and working through things independently, and then being willing to come back together and restore our relationship, put in boundaries in place to keep things healthy.
Definitely. And a lot of our audience has witnessed this firsthand. Their mom or dad is in the service, and they bring a lot of that tension and stress home, and they take it out on the first thing available at the house. And sometimes it is the child that's in the house, in your case, a young lady. And That process stays there forever. That those scars don't go away. They're there for the rest of that child's life. And the person that's doing it in the moment probably doesn't realize what they're doing and how much harm they're doing. How did you learn to grow from that? As a 13-year-old, you knew enough to step away. But how did you grow from that and pivot to become where you are today?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, a lot of people go through this. There's a ton of programming that happens as you are onboarded, you're going through boot camp, you're becoming part of the military, and then there's not as many resources for the offboarding process. And my dad saw, look, like this boot camp process worked for me. It helped me gain discipline. It helped me gain structure in my life. Let me use that to help discipline my kids. And so logically it makes sense, but when you add in stress and the fact that you're working with children, not adults, it has a little bit of a different impact. And so as I was growing up, I, for some reason, through the way that I was, how I was raised, different circumstances, developed the emotional intelligence to see, like, this isn't working for me. And we would have conversations. I'd say, hey, you know, can we deal with it in this way, in that fashion? Can this change? Can that change? And there would be a lot of grief. We'd have good restorative conversations, but then the behavior would remain the same. And at 13, I said, you know, this isn't working. This is too traumatic, too painful for me. And so I'm going to distance myself. Since then, it's been a process of healing, reading books, gaining mentors, going through therapy, and a lot of forgiveness, a lot of recognizing what it means to be an adult, what it means to be a parent. Not that I am one yet, but just understanding how all of those stresses come together, combined with the lack of tools that we gain in our own childhood. We're not often taught just how to deal with life, how to communicate effectively. And when you compile that all together, it makes it pretty difficult to not have dysfunction enter the mix as you're going through life and as you're parenting children.
Definitely. And while you were going through that journey, did you have counseling or someone to, I guess, help you get through it with do it on your own at such a young age?
Yeah, so I was fortunate to have some counseling. So that was super helpful. I would say that the rest of it was me figuring it out with a combination of talking to family members, talking to mentors, reading books, journaling, at the time doing meditation, and just really searching for how do you get through life in a healthy way, going to leadership seminars. I mean, just trying everything that I could. And it helped to a great degree. And I would say that it got me to the point where I could really forgive and restore our relationship, come back and ask for a second chance.
Definitely. And you know, in the intro, I introduced you as an entrepreneur, a teacher, an engineer. You've done a lot of things and you're still very young. So how many businesses or how many entrepreneurial journeys have you been on in your time?
Yeah, when I was in college, I started a couple of businesses. My grandmother was a very successful businesswoman, and I took after her, was inspired by her. So I started a couple of things. For most entrepreneurs out there, we know that most of them don't work out, and they're great learning experiences. So those didn't necessarily take off, but I learned a lot from them. And then it was during my senior year in college that I started a nonprofit focused on helping young people heal intergenerational patterns of trauma. So that way they can gain those tools that are necessary when we're making decisions around school, higher education, starting families, how to parent, all that kind of stuff. And so that has been in operation for the past 8 years.
Wow. Let's talk about the Leon Foundation of Excellence, since you kind of had from the name there. So I'll throw it out there for you. The Leon Foundation of Excellence, it like you said, it helps heal intergenerational patterns of trauma. How are you funded, and where are you based, and how is it going?
Yeah, so we're based in Colorado. During the pandemic, we were operating globally, actually. We had participants from four different countries and a bunch of different states across the U.S. But we are based out of Colorado, and we've worked with hundreds of students, helping them heal intergenerational patterns of trauma. They do programming either in person or online. We actually have an online course that is 30 modules, free for anyone who wants to take it. It's geared towards students, but if you are looking to develop emotional intelligence, gain more tools around effective communication, that's definitely a resource for everyone. You can find it on our website. And it has been going so well. It's incredible to hear the stories, and I'll share a quick one. We had some students we were working with who were on probation, and they were raised in an area where there was a lot of violence, drug abuse, and they just didn't see themselves living beyond 18. And so when we started out the program and asked them, what do you see for your future? Their answer was dead. Like, I don't see myself living beyond 18. And then they went through the program and got to the end of it, and we asked the same question, and they were excited about going to college. They were excited about the rest of their future and just different dreams. And what was fantastic about that is they went from having a 2-year lifespan mentally from their own perspective to adding hopefully 40, 60 years to their life just by giving them hope, just by showing them that they can continue on.
That's a great win story right there. Hopefully that's the trajectory all of their participants get to see that light and move forward, especially a lot of young women through what they went through. They see what can happen to them, and they kind of lead into, that's the thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to go that way and stay on with that. My camera just died. Hold on.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'll say it's just fantastic to see like the results of what students have accomplished. So we've been operating for 8 years, and that means that we've had students who have graduated. We've watched them go on to college, on to trade school. They're flourishing. Some of them are getting engaged. You know, they're going through all these different stages of life and coming back just saying how they appreciate the program. And it's just helped them gain the tools that they need to work through some of those traumas that some people aren't even aware of. You just think that this is the way that life is. You don't recognize that there's another option.
Definitely. And if all you're fed every day is rice, all you think you're ever going to have. And if you're not shown that there's other things that can go with that rice, like a meat option or a vegetable option, you're not going to have any other ideas of what out there. And in their case, education is probably a big thing that helped them to see that there is something way better than what they were learning to get ahead in life, higher education, and then have those goals, like you said, 40, 60 more years of life instead of two. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that analogy. Well said.
Thank you. Now, you also talk on your bio about technology and how it needs to be diversified. So it's available to everyone. So explain a little more about why tech is important for all communities.
Yeah. So I work a lot around building accessible tech. This was something that was brought to my awareness several years ago when I started my journey as a software engineer. And I had a family member who had acquired a temporary disability. They were going through a medical challenge and weren't able to do the same things that they could before. Luckily, they recovered, but there's different types of disabilities. You can have one such as that, which is temporary. You can have one that's permanent, which I know lots of people, especially coming back from serving, can experience that as well. Or it can be situational. So maybe you just are carrying groceries in one arm and carrying a child in the other, and you're having a hard time opening up the door. Now, that has more to do with physical accessibility. But when we're talking about accessibility online, it's making sure that the tech that we're building is something that anyone can use. So if you're using a screen reader, if you have low vision, if you are deaf, we want to make sure that you can still have access to all of the content. There's approximately 1.5 billion people in the world who have some form of a disability. And if we're not thinking about accessibility, you really close yourself off to a lot of markets. From a business perspective, from a human perspective, we are disabling a lot of folks just because we're not being conscious around the way that we're building technology.
And we've definitely seen advances in those aspects of technology now to incorporate every kind of disability that we know of right now to help others, to help everyone have accessibility. In the military, they have the rising desks now for those guys and men and women who come back with bad legs, bad backs that have to stand up a lot. And for those who don't, they have ergonomics. We've seen that go from that. Now, as you like you said, screen readers, audio stuff for the visually impaired, and things that are going to keep advancing, and they advance at the speed of light now. Computer I have in front of me is 3 years old. It's obsolete in the world of technology. So things will just keep going on and on, and we just have to keep up with them and hopefully keep incorporating things to help everybody.
Yeah, and AI has really helped make progress in this area as well. There are different technologies out there where you can just hold your phone up, let's say, to a bunch of ingredients on a table. And if you're someone who is blind, it will read out, hey, that particular item you're pointing your phone at is a soda or is sugar or is bread. And that's a huge game changer. Or maybe we get more in depth of this is this particular type of soda. And this one over here is that other type, to where someone who cannot visibly see the actual label on the soda can would be able to identify which one they're picking up. So it's incredible. There's a lot of advancements that are being made, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's great to, especially be on both sides, to see it happen as you're a user and also see it as it's implemented to those who need it. So in everything you do, it shows leadership, and especially you start at a young age showing an internal leadership to do what you did at 13, and you continued that through your journey to college when you started the Leon Foundation. Where do you think leadership actually starts, and how do we make sure everyone knows where leadership is and how to, I guess, foster that?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I really wanted to be a leader, and I thought it was this very official thing. You know, you have to have a certain title on your resume. You need to become a CEO, whatever the case may be. It just felt very official. And over the years, I've come to realize that leadership is what we're doing every day as humans. right? Are we caring for each other? Are we demonstrating morals and values? Are we practicing what we preach? Are we thinking outside ourselves and seeing what others need and being sacrificial and providing for those needs? That to me is what leadership is. It's not complaining about the neighbor's yard over there while my yard is a mess. It's making sure that my yard is clean and then asking the neighbor if they need help with cleaning up theirs, just as a quick metaphor.
That's a perfect metaphor. And I put that in our first book, 13 Step Guide to Success. You got to clean up your house first before you can clean up your neighborhood or complain about anything that's happened on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You got to clean up your house, 123 Mockingbird Lane, and clean that house, clean the house to get your little block to go together, grow your community, and then grow your city. And then it'll spread like wildfire once everyone is on the same page and looking at that same goal, everyone to be awesome.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So there's no questions right now in the chat, but I'll let you tell us a little more about where you're going in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Where do you see the foundation in the next couple of years?
Yeah. So I am working on a podcast as well as the foundation. And this is just like another creative outlet for myself where I love telling stories about folks who have overcome barriers and showing how they did it, why they did it. What are things that they've learned? You know, one thing that I've come to realize about life is that we can all do everything, but we can't do everything at once. And so for me, it might take me 5 years to do something, whereas it might take you a year to do it, depending on our abilities and how quickly we work and the skills that we've already acquired or what we've been exposed to. But nothing's really off limits for anyone. It's just a matter of determining, where are you going to focus? What matters most for you? And we can expedite that process by getting exposure to other people's stories, exposure to different aspects of life. And that's what I really want to provide through this podcast. The other like kind of value add that it provides is I love communicating and I love speaking with people. And so that may be another avenue that I head down is how can I have more of a talk show or something that is around communicating values, communicating information, telling stories. So that is on the rise. It's slowly growing and we'll see where it goes from there. But I think there's nothing like learning from each other in life through the power of storytelling.
Definitely. I can't wait till the Opportunities Made podcast comes out. I will definitely check it out with you. And I think you can do a roundtable on that show to do everything you just said, invite multiple guests or have two or three people at a time and just do critical thinking with each other and mind meld until you get the answers that maybe it'll help someone else that's listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's definitely not impossible. Your idea is great. And I think one of the questions I was going to ask you, how do we make new opportunities? I think you just answered some of that, but I'll let you just think again and answer, how do we as people or how do youth make new opportunities for themselves?
Yeah, so as a young person, it can be very scary, especially when we're listening to those deprecating voices in our head that tell us you can't do this, you don't have enough, you are not enough, this happened to you in your life, that happened to you in your life, especially when we go through micro traumas. Maybe we have parents or siblings or guardians who demean us. And I went through an experience where if it was like, hey, I feel hot, the temperature is hot right now, it's like, no, you're not, you're cold. Right. And so you start learning this programming where you deny your own needs. You don't listen to your own voice. And all of these things can create this mindset that's pretty narrow minded, pretty limited, where we think that we can't create opportunities for ourselves. But I would just encourage anyone to deny that. It's going to be a long, possibly hard process to deny those voices. But when we look objectively at life, like we all can do anything. It's just a matter of how much do you want it and how patient can you be. So when those voices and that programming is telling you that you can't, then you have to take a step back and look at how can we solve this problem? I have this voice that's telling me no. logically, I understand the answer is yes. And so what do I need to do to reconcile this? Is it just a matter of going and doing it and proving that voice wrong? Do I need to, you know, do some inner work, some healing, some therapy to heal that voice and show evidence to the contrary? Whatever that process is, it's going to be according to the individual, but everyone is capable of creating new opportunities. And I'll just put a plug real quick for a particular platform, LinkedIn, as an example of how to create new opportunities. It is a professional platform, and so the culture is for professional outreach, but it's absolutely incredible where there's over a billion people on there, and you can reach out to anyone. If you want to understand how someone's job works, what they do in that industry, how did they move from A to Z and everywhere in between, just reach out to someone and ask, hey, this is why I'm interested in talking to you. We both connect because we're both from this particular place or this particular school, or we have this particular interest. Can we sit down either in person or online and just have a conversation? And I've been able to connect with people all over the world, all different kind of industries, just by reaching out. And the worst that can happen is they don't respond. So I highly encourage people to add a little note, respectfully reach out and see who you can talk to. And it's a great way to create opportunities. And opportunities aren't created necessarily in a day. This is a long-term thing. And the relationships you form now may not necessarily, quote unquote, pay off now, but you might find the fruits of them in 10, 20 years. So start doing that legwork. You'll get that compound interest. You'll get those dividends as you move through the rest of your life.
That's great advice right there. And I always say, if you're not LinkedIn, you're linked out. You're losing opportunities. It's broadcasting on LinkedIn right now for that very reason. So we can generate more conversation there through the professional network and all the other networks. It has different people in each network that this might resonate with, and maybe reach out to you or reach out to us to get to you and help both of us grow and learn more about ourselves and what we can do for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your story is compelling. It's awesome. Have you thought about writing about your journey?
You know, I've always wanted to write a book, and I did probably about 10 years ago, and I never could get across that finish line to publishing it. And I'm honestly really grateful that that didn't happen, because I have learned so much in the last 10 years, just things like realizing how I thought love was one thing, and now I have a totally different definition, or how I thought my childhood played out in a certain way, and now I'm understanding a lot more. And I'll never fully understand everything. So at some point, you just have to bite the bullet and write this story. But I'm glad that I have a lot more wisdom. I have a lot more maturity. And so, yeah, I could see that happening. The other thing I've learned about writing a book, though, is it's best to have an audience ahead of time and write to solve a problem for that audience. And so I would say, in creating the podcast, in speaking, that's kind of the process of forming an audience, whoever's interested in the things that I talk about. And then at some point, I can pull it all together into a readable book. So that way they can quickly understand what I've learned over the past several decades.
Awesome. And I have a feeling that you will put this together quicker than you think once you get the show going and start talking to way more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I'm excited for that journey. It's going to be fun.
And where can people contact you now just to either find out more about you, find out more about the Leon Foundation, or maybe pick your brain?
Yeah, so Leon, you can find it at leonfe.org. So that's Leon F-E. And on there, you can find our free leadership course. If you would like to connect with me on LinkedIn, it's the LinkedIn URL /opportunitymade. And then you can find the Opportunity Made podcast on any podcasting platform. And there's also a newsletter that goes along with that, that is published weekly, sometimes bi-weekly on LinkedIn. You can just search the articles on LinkedIn for Opportunity Made and subscribe there.
Awesome. Catherine, it's been great chatting with you for the last half hour. Thanks for joining us from Colorado, which I bet it's beautiful there right now. Snow on the mountains. It's not beautiful where I am right now. It's a lovely Indiana. So it's just Indiana. It's been great chatting with you, and I hope everything you work for in the future is a success.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you all for listening.
Have a great night.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Obtaining one is easy. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation.